First place I would have you turn in your Bibles today is John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24 is where we'll begin as we consider this topic, living life after death before you die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that life in an interesting light today. The benefits we have in that life we have with Jesus. Help us to understand. And Lord, if there's any believer here today that's struggling, may they find rest in Jesus today. Help us through this study, and I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Life after death is usually the term or phrase that we use regarding someone who has gone to heaven after they've died physically. But there's another life after death that I referred to at the beginning of the service that believers experience before they die physically. Now, David said that he started out in sin, as he says in Psalm 51, verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that we read earlier, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, because we are born in that condition. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we pass from death into life, even while we are yet living physically here on the earth. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, you have life after death. You've passed from death unto life. Now, there's another sense in which we have this life after death. If you would, go over to Romans chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. And remember, that word baptism means to be immersed. So we are buried with Christ by immersion into death. That is, we are immersed into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, having been immersed into his death, are participants in his resurrection by proxy, and we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, it says in verse 5. Verse 4, even so we shall walk in newness of life, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Drop down to verse 11, where it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Galatians 2:20, you might be familiar with that verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 that we have looked at recently, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse. Oh, wait a minute. Did it again. I got to talk to the person that types my notes. Or maybe I need to get in the right book. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Sorry about that. I was in 1 Corinthians and didn't even realize it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now think, what we have observed, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, right now we can walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, right now we can live under Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, right now I live in the flesh, and I live by the faith of the Son of God, so that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered into death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, there is a value of sickness in a believer's life. Sickness can be unto death, can it not? There is a value of life-threatening circumstances in a believer's life. There is value in our lives as believers as we live for Christ and face physical death. For as we face those kind of circumstances and demonstrate that we have no fear of death, but we are very much alive in Jesus Christ, it makes an impression on other people. I wonder how many doctors and nurses have been impacted by the testimony of believers who were cheerful in the midst of their hospitalization. I know some have been, because I know some of you have experienced that. There are certain things that are true about the life that we have in Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to have that kind of impact. Now, before we look at those, I want to look at two characteristics of those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Then we'll look at four characteristics of those who are alive in Jesus. Two characteristics of those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Number one is the desire to be saturated with sensual experiences. Now, I use the word sensual in the sense of our five senses. Okay? Five senses. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Is seeing one of our five senses? Yeah. And nor the ear filled with hearing. That's another one of our five senses. Isn't that an interesting statement? Your eye is never satisfied with seeing. Can you imagine a man walking around with his eyes closed and someone says to him, "Oh, sir, are you blind?" And he says, "No, I just have seen so much in my life. My eyes are totally satisfied. I never want to see anything again." Would that ever happen? No. That would never happen. What happens when you hear a noise? Don't you go to see what is making that noise? You're driving along the highway and there's an accident. What do you do? Don't they call that, there's a phrase for that, rubbernecking. You slow down and stretch your neck so that you can see what's going on. Or we love to go to on vacation and do what? Sightseeing. How many have never been sightseeing in your life? Ever? We've all done some seeing of sights, right? Because our eyes are never satisfied. We love to see things. Well, consider. Will you ever want to not hear anything again? No. Will you ever want to not touch anything again? No. Will you ever want to not smell anything again? Well, there might be some things you might not want to smell again, but anybody have a roast in it? You know, anybody have a roast in it? We used to put roast in the oven almost every Sunday. Remember putting them to my son there? Come home, walk in the door, what do you smell? Oh, boy, it smells so good. Would you ever not want to taste anything again? Some people lose their taste, and that's not very pleasant, is it? Not very enjoyable. The desire in the human heart is to experience what our five senses can sense. And we want to do that as much as possible, which leads many people to want to experience the things that our senses can sense that are contrary to the glory of God. James chapter 3 refers to a wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. That is, there is an appetite in the physical senses to experience sensations without regard to morality or righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32 lists a lot of these things, where it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is bad character, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, haters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, which means they're disagreeable all of the time, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can you imagine? Having pleasure in things that are contrary to God. The other characteristic, while they want to experience as much as they can, is a sense of gloom and despair. Paul referred to this. He says, if the dead rise not, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, if the dead rise not, you remember what he said we may as well do? Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Boy, what a prospect of life. If the dead rise not, there is no hope beyond this life. And if there's no hope beyond this life, we may as well experience as much as we can while we're living on earth, because this is all there is. Can you imagine? And maybe some of us had that sensation before we were saved. Some of us were saved as children. It's hard to relate to that, but those of you that were saved as adults may have had that sensation. It's a common sensation among mankind throughout the world who have no hope in Jesus. I need to experience as much of life as possible because when I die, it's all over, and there is nothing else. Well, these are people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they are confined to a limited time for their earthly experience. Death to them is like a brick wall without a door. They are subject to the negative passions of fear and frustration and panic and a sense of desperation. So here are the characteristics of those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. They need to experience as much as they can before it's all over. But for us who have received Christ as our Savior, there are these wonderful things. Number one, rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. This rest is a sense of relief. Like a man who works a double shift, 16 long hours from 8 in the morning till midnight, hard labor, lifting heavy things, doing intense manual labor, and he's totally exhausted, but when the clock strikes 12 midnight, he can stop. And he has that sense of relief, the hard labor is all over. And he can go home and relax, knowing he has the next day off. Well, think of that moment in life when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you realized that Jesus had done all the work that needed to be done for salvation. And you would never again have to strive within yourself to get to heaven. You can relax and not ever wonder again if you have done enough to get into heaven. In the same way that God stopped the work of creation when it was finished, Jesus finished the work of redemption, and we can rest in what Jesus did for us because he did everything that needs to be done. The second characteristic is contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There's no need to be saturated with the physical experiences that satisfy the physical senses because we've been saturated with heavenly resources that are much better and feed the inner man rather than the outer man. As Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Contentment in the inner man overrides the compulsion of the flesh to pursue the experience of our physical senses. Contentment in the inner man overrides the compulsion of the flesh to pursue the experience of the physical senses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, 16, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you know that's why when you're in the hospital and you need to be there, that you can be cheerful? Though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. There is an inner contentment that overrides anything negative that we experience in our physical senses. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, it says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And Ephesians 3:16 says that we are strengthened with might by his spirit in the inward man. Thus we have this sense of delight in God's word, and we have this spiritual fortitude that when the forces of the world tend to intimidate us, they lose their effect because we rest in our contentment in the inner man, that we belong to God, and that is enough. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, you're familiar with it. But it's such an encouraging passage of Scripture. It asks several questions. Four, in fact, there's a question in verse 31 and in verse 33 and in verse 34 and verse 35, and then he answers the questions. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? The answer, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Answer, it is God that justifieth. Question, who is he that condemneth? Answer, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All these things we experience with our physical senses. Answer, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all of the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And may I add to that, anything we sense with our physical bodies shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And thus we rest in our contentment, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, with such things as we have. Number three is our hope. What if all we had was this life? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, it says. After all, if Christ doesn't give us any more than we had when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we may as well just be like everybody else in the world and eat and drink and be merry, and tomorrow we die. But we would even be more miserable than the rest of the people in the world, because Christ doesn't want us to eat and drink and be merry. So we would lose out on everything. We don't get to eat and drink and be merry. We don't get the life after death. We miss out on everything if in this life this is all we have. But it's not all we have. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, it is as though they are in a sealed room, alive, conscious, breathing, but aware that the oxygen in the room is limited and it won't be long until it will all be used up. But for those who have passed from death to life in Christ, it is though we are in the open, fresh air and there is an unlimited supply of oxygen that will never run out. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We can't see what we hope for, but it doesn't matter because we know that God keeps all of his promises. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the hope we have in the coming of Jesus Christ makes our lives here on earth something worth living. And the fourth thing is comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 18. I believe most of you would be familiar with this. But it's such a precious passage of scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. All of our loved ones who are already in heaven, God will bring with him. Jesus will bring with him. My wife will come with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can be comforted, we can be comfortable because we know Jesus is coming. He's coming for us. Doesn't that make it easier to live in this physical world? Once again, would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I'll go to the right place this time. And by the way, I type my own notes, so it's my own fault. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Notice that there is a similar statement in each of verses 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. All of the things that we experience in this physical world as believers in Jesus Christ are intended to make it possible for us to demonstrate that we are alive in Jesus Christ. so that no matter how difficult the circumstances become, we can demonstrate that we are at rest, we are content, we have hope, and we are perfectly comfortable in that. Notice in verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, and we are perplexed. In verse 9, we're persecuted and we're cast down. Those are some of the negative things we experience in this physical world. But in contrast to that, in these two verses, it says, yet we're not distressed, we're not in despair, we're not forsaken, and we're not destroyed. In other words, no matter what trouble we may face, no matter how difficult the circumstances may become of our experience in this physical world, no matter what our five senses feel or our emotions feel. Any of you have emotions? Do the things of this world ever affect you emotionally? Well, if we can concentrate on the four things we mentioned this morning, we can remain calm in the midst of the storm. In Jesus, we are at rest. And we are content. And we have hope. And we are perfectly comfortable with all of that. So trouble may come. You may be perplexed and persecuted and cast down. But you never have to be distressed or in despair or feel forsaken or experience being destroyed. Because we're already living after death. And the things of death can't touch us. We're alive in Jesus. And for those of us in Jesus, that can never change. Be at rest today. Be content. Cherish your hope and be comfortable in those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these things you've given to us. Rest, contentment, hope, and comfort. Help us to enjoy these things each and every day. And while the world swirls around us in a storm, help us to be calm and at rest. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.